The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We the People Radio, and this is the first time we've been in the studio in 3 weeks.
So it's really morning.
Yeah, so it's early morning, and we're peeling the cobwebs off the microphones. Actually, there are other people that have been using those microphones, so there really are no cobwebs.
So now we just need to disinfect
inside of our brains. Yeah.
Treat the cobwebs.
Our mental cobwebs. So you are joining We the People Radio. We'd love to have you give us a call. The number is 530-605-4567. We're streaming and chatting live at We the People Radio.us.
Yeah, but don't call me on my cell phone because it's still on. I forgot to mute it.
Ignore Aaron's cell phone. And by the way, you're joining Aaron, Elizabeth, and Bob. Good morning to all. Appreciate you listening and tuning in. Grab your cup of coffee, settle in for a couple of hours. We've got another great show for you. And if this is your first time tuning in, we are about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. So this morning we have things
Bob wants to say. Bob's over there taking a breath. I see him. It's like jump rope. He's trying to jump in.
Bob's grinning over
there.
Do it,
Bob.
I just wanted to welcome both of you back. Happy New Year.
Did you miss us, Bob?
I did.
He didn't miss us because we had like 9,000 hours of pre-recording last month.
First time we've gone 3 weeks without doing a live show.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was. I have to admit, though, and really, I mean, the days kind of all blend together, but there was something about not dragging myself out on Sunday mornings. Not that it would be any different than dragging myself out any other morning.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to ask Dan about that. Yeah. I'm not sure how that works at your house, but it was a little weird, and it's always a little weird to kind of pretend we're doing a different day, so it's kind of nice that we're just here.
And
it's
regular. We're here on Sunday morning, and we really are here on Sunday morning.
Exactly.
Last week's show with Oscar Braun was actually recorded
in November.
Yeah,
because he blew it. I asked him what his New Year's resolution was, and he goes, I don't know. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet.
What?
Come on, buddy. Pay attention.
Play along here.
Exactly. And I guess he's calling us at 9 o'clock to let us know what's going on with the California Bill of Rights.
Oh.
Apparently, we were getting an update.
Yeah, I know. We just got petitions, so... there'll be plenty to sign. If you want to pick those up, you can actually give Sally Raposa a call at 246-9702. Is that her number?
06. But you could call 02 and be friendly.
Yeah. Anyway, and Sally, I hope it's okay that I gave your phone number out. But
yeah, I was going to say, hey, did you check that out ahead of time? No.
She's got boxes of petitions on this this new bill. So bill.
On a potential initiative.
Initiative.
Yeah, because it's the California Bill of Rights that's basically repealing everything we all have grown to dislike. All the environmental, overreach and all that good stuff. And I was going to quickly read that to you, but I didn't really have that up on my screen, so forget that whole idea. I'm going to go back to my other screen here and look at Dakin's resume, because he's on the phone, right?
Dakin is on the phone.
He's just diligent. Look at that guy. He pays attention. He's a senior at Stanford studying physics. Okay, everybody sit down. It's really early in the morning to be using these words, but he's studying physics, mathematics, and philosophy. What a cool combo. Interested in the philosophical underpinnings of quantum mechanics and the alternative approaches to quantum theory. And so initially you're thinking, and this has to do with, government and stuff, how? But he's also participated in physics research to improve gravitational lensing studies that explore the nature and distribution of dark matter. See, and then you start talking about dark matter, and you go, hey, we should try to find a way to do some politics with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because dark matter and politics are pretty similar.
And so they found a really interesting way to dig into the bureaucracy and analyze it, and I think that their information is probably pretty fail-proof.
Yeah, it's cool. He's using his quantitative analysis skills to improve the efficiency of California state government. God knows we would have to go to somebody who understands physics, mathematics, and psychology. in order to do that. But his least favorite wasteful government regulation is administered by the FDA to prevent the sale of raw milk and cheese aged less than 60 days. And so their mission, let's see, you can spot it on our website if you go to wethepeopleradio.org. You will see their website right there, cacs.org, californiacommonsense.org. And their mission is open government finances to the public, to engage citizens in data-driven discourse, and to catalyze a grassroots movement for more effective and efficient government. And so this whole catalyze the grassroots movement part was the part where we were like, oh, good partnership.
I know, and I love the fact that, you know, we're always talking about getting young people involved and interested in what's going on politically, and boy, these guys are really dialed in.
Yeah, because, you know, these guys, CACS began in 2010 when a bunch of Stanford students and alumni created the first ever organizational mapping of the 3,800 plus entities within California's executive branch. And Jerry Brown had done away with the transparency, what is it, californiatransparency.org. You know, lots of states have a transparency thing. And I just got an email from a guy a couple weeks ago who said, why don't we have this? Well, now we do.
Yeah.
So, there, just in case, you know, a lot of times we don't give a good bio on the person that we have online, and then we never get to it. And so I thought, thought maybe we should do that before we get all tangled up down the road. So do we have any other stuff we have to do, or can we talk to Dakin?
I think we can talk to Dakin because...
we could take a vote in here.
Yeah.
Did we want to mention the Tea Party meeting tomorrow night?
Oh, we could do that. See, that's why we have Bob. Bob's like our dad. He keeps us on track. Tomorrow night, I think we're talking to the Reading Police Chief. That's the plan. But he's in the middle of moving. And so provided he gets all of his moving done, he'll be popping by to say hi. Tom Basenko is going to come over, our sheriff here in Shasta County, because we have some different ordinances for the marijuana industry, or lack thereof. And so he was going to explain what was going on with that. And I think, you know, I heard this information yesterday from the county at a cattleman's meeting, and I think people are going to be, I think people will be pretty happy, actually, because it has a lot of setbacks from other people's homes and all the things that usually complain about.
Hey, and real quick, before we do transition into our speaker.
Oh, and Gary Catt's going to be talking about the climate action plan.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. I'm done.
Full plate tomorrow night. Hey, so real quickly, for all of those that are listening that just stay quiet, one of the things that I've been reading a lot on the blogs on our local newspaper is that people are wondering why they don't hear about initiatives, and they would sign them if they knew about them, and how come they never knew, and now it's too late and they can't do anything. I just want you to know that regardless of what your party affiliation is or what you think about the movement, the Tea Party always has information on the latest and greatest initiatives, potential initiatives coming down the pike. And that's what we do.
Sure. You know? And we always get to hear from all the candidates, and we're ever endorse anybody. So
We're literally a clearinghouse for legitimate information that you probably won't hear anywhere else. At least a lot of the time you won't. And some of these potential initiatives are a little bit obscure because they are grassroots efforts and grassroots citizens trying to get them on a ballot. So if you do want to find out about them, you do want the opportunity to sign them, you need to clue into the Tea Party.
There you go. Bob's fiddling with papers. Are you going to give us the high sign here?
I was not clear whether we wanted to go ahead and take a break right now before we brought Dakin in.
That's what all that shuffling was going on. Okay. Command decision. Swift break. We get a really long segment next time.
Yeah, we've been kind of
Dakin, hold that thought.
We had a lot of catching up to do.
We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Going to hear from our local advertisers and thank them very much. Anybody who's interested in sponsoring and all that good stuff, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can catch us at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be back with you here at KCNR 1460 in 2 minutes at the home of Free Fire Media.
And the world already knows where I stand.
And I'm for the Bible, and I'm for the flag, and I'm for the world.
have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
This one's for you, Dakin. Welcome back to We the People Radio. Dial in.
What did you study in school, Elizabeth?
I'm business administration.
See, I studied English.
Yeah.
So it's like, what?
Yeah. Hey, so give us a call, 605-4567. We're chatting and streaming at wethepeopleradio.us. And I've blathered on enough this morning. I think we had to roll right over to Dakin.
Yeah. Are you in there, Dakin?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Thanks for hanging in there so long.
Thank you for having me on.
You're gonna learn all the hits of the 70s throughout the show. You hear all this music, you'll be like, "What the heck is that?" You could just, they're all the 70s mostly. So.
Hey, so we know you were not born in the 70s, were you? No.
No. No. He's a senior at Stanford.
Yeah. So, what brought you to the point you're at?
Well, we only have 2 hours.
I was gonna say, what were the things there? Physics, mathematics, and philosophy. Are you kidding me?
Yowza!
Which trail you want to follow? So, Dakin, you know, it's funny. When we talked a month ago or something, you made a comment that you guys were launching something new and that this would be a great date because you were launching something new, but I didn't write it down. What are you launching?
Sure. It's actually a whole civic engagement platform or an online forum where people can interact with elected officials based on the data that we've been putting up.
Nice.
So far we've put up a tremendous amount of data about state budgets, state finances, how much we're spending, and how much we're actually getting for what we're spending in terms of value. And now there's actually going to be a simple, easy way for someone to share, kind of in a social way, what they found in that information. And then if enough people vote to fix a particular issue that someone has found, elected officials will respond there and let constituents and citizens know what they're either doing about the issue or have done and what they think about it, so that there can be some really meaningful discussion to move us forward about what's going on here in California.
Yeah, because you're going to take advantage of all the social networking sites, right? Or at least the same formulas?
Exactly. It'll be fully integrated with Facebook. There's a beta version of it up online that you can get to from our website at cacs.org. It's one of the links there. And it'll go live within the next week or two.
Nice. And it's the link that says transparency beta?
Forum beta. Too many betas on the site.
Oh, I'm sorry, because there's one that says transparency beta.
And that gets you to all the data. And then under Don't Miss there on the homepage, forum beta. Takes you to the new beta site.
Oh, I was looking on the toolbar.
Hopefully they like the layout. Send us any comments that they have as we're still kind of finalizing a few things.
Wow, it looks awesome. I was looking on the toolbar. I didn't even look down in that part. Oh, yeah, here we go. And take action, visualizations, publications. So how wide a... I don't want to say this. You were talking about elected officials, so are we talking about all the way down to, say, Board of Supervisors, or are you sticking with the legislature?
You'll notice that we actually have information up there for every elected official in California, and it's just going to take some time for us to get all of them on there using the forum. But the most effective thing we can do in order to get elected officials to participate is show them citizens participating. So I hope everyone goes and checks that out and uses it.
Yeah, exactly. So we get them interested through the back door. It's like, gosh, I didn't see you on there, and nobody wants to be either running for office or in elected office and be left out of the mix.
Now, is this specifically for the state of California, or have you gone nationwide with this?
we're all Californians, and we're pretty concerned about what's happening here, so we're staying focused here.
Okay.
So I do believe that we will scale this to the federal level and to other states and cities across the country.
Yeah, because if people are to look under transparency and they click on California, welcome to California's first ever data transparency portal. So for anybody who's not online yet, this would be a good reason to get a computer.
Now, where are you getting the data?
It's from a wide variety of sources. Sometimes we work with the state controller. Sometimes we find the data online. Sometimes we have to call and request it and spend months and months trying to get the government to give it out.
Yeah.
So it's all sorts of sources that were already available or sometimes not available. And what we're really doing is making it much more accessible, because transparency used to mean that there was a 250,000-row Excel file somewhere on a government website, which nobody other than someone with a PhD in statistics and a decent knowledge of how government works could actually do anything meaningful with. But with these visualizations, you can quickly get a real sense of what's happening. Take one of those nationwide employee compensation visualizations. You can, in four clicks of a button, see how does salaries for correctional officers in California compare to salaries in other states, and you'll notice that they're much, much higher here, even adjusted for cost of living.
Now, have you gotten much pushback on this from government officials?
There have been both positive and negative responses. Whenever we turn our eye to a particular entity or a particular section of government, that component of government tends not to be too happy, because no one loves to be put under the light of scrutiny, the light of sunshine. But when we're not looking at a particular entity, everyone in general likes to say that transparency is a good thing. But we've had some trouble getting data along the way, and the most particular example of this was with the California Assembly. There was a whole controversy last year that's just kind of coming to a close, where Assemblymember Portantino and the Sacramento Bee and LA Times and us were trying to get data from the Assembly about how it was spending money, and they just refused to put it out. And actually, finally, Friday, under court order, after months of this, they've put out that information.
Nice, because the state used to have, and it's funny, I never used it. It went away before I knew it was there, but they had a transparency website, supposedly, but not as many states as I would have thought. Jerry Brown got rid of ours, I guess, ostensibly because of budget, and he said that that information could be found elsewhere, and then listed a myriad of links. I'm thinking, yeah, people are going to go through that.
So you're the clearinghouse.
Yeah, this
exactly, is... Exactly. We like to think of ourselves as a third party that is just putting up data, putting up the analyses that some of our researchers happen to find if they spend time with the data. But if people want information about how California state government is working, not working, spending, performing, we have a lot of that information, and we're committed to continuing to grow that base of information.
I would think that anybody running for a new office, or somebody new to the political field that is running for an elected position, would find this incredibly useful in their campaign.
Yeah, we've actually been contacted by quite a few candidates. And, I think we can help the average citizen trying to understand what's going on. We can help people in government who are making policy decisions, and we've been working with them to give them kind of the findings of our research, whether it was on the pension issue or on this assembly budget issue. The media, in order to interpret these things, because unfortunately so much of the media has had to lay off a lot of people, including data teams. And they can't do as quickly as we can at this point much of the data analysis and other issues that we take on.
So clearly these are indisputable numbers, and this doesn't follow along any party lines.
Yeah, this is a totally nonpartisan effort. We're supported by both Willie Brown, very, very Democrat, and George Shultz, a Republican, both prominent, and the list goes down from there. At every level, we've gotten buy-in from both sides, because as much as people like to hate on the other side at times, it really is important when you're trying to work with the data and get to the bottom of the facts so we can have an intelligible discussion to bring both sides to the table.
Yeah, sure. You know, you guys, like the trigger cuts, you know, here's a big thing. How do budget trigger cuts impact California services? And that, depending on what you read, you know, there's a lot of scare tactic out there. There's also a California public employee pay, San Francisco public employees, if you want to look just at that. And then detailed expenditures based on what, you know, what office you're looking at. You can actually look. At this point, you haven't done Senate, it looks like, but you have by assembly member, you can look at staff spending, which is...
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, this is not just dry esoteric data by any means. These are real stories that are affecting us. I mentioned the correctional officer California issue before, but you can find all sorts of things like that. That is money that's being spent, that's our money as taxpayers, and most of us don't really know where it's going at the end of the day, and that's a problem.
Yeah, it's awesome because, you know, people can, you've got maps here, so if people aren't sure what district they are, that's available. So you don't have to be a political insider, actually, to use this, which isn't the case a lot of times. You really have to know quite a bit. This breaks it down, all your visuals on, you know, as you aggregate the numbers together. This is nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's our goal. I mean, I hadn't spent a whole lot of time in political arenas up until a little under a year ago. And when I went out to Sacramento and saw kind of how there was this wall between everyone in Sacramento that was making decisions for the rest of us and the rest of us out there that are going about our lives, earning money, and some of it goes to Sacramento to pay for their decisions, it was really surprising to me. And it became extremely important. I've spent a lot of time along with the rest of my friends out here at Stanford and in the Bay Area, trying to make it so that you don't have to be a political insider to understand what's going on, that you can really participate in this, and that it's open, because that's the first step to any sort of positive reform happening.
Absolutely. Well, like, I got into the public retirement systems costs, so if somebody was to click on, hover on the transparency part of the bar up there and drop down to pensions. Here you guys have data for CalPERS, CalSTRS, and a total. And what's UCRP?
That's for the University of California Retirement Plan.
Oh, Retirement Plan. Okay, I'm like, University of California, what? Then you've got, you know, you can choose, literally choose the category you want to see. Annual expenditures, unfunded liabilities over 16 years, unfunded liability per household, probability of exceeding the investment. I mean, that's the kind of stuff people really want to know. When you click on the button, I mean, you know, again, you don't have to know a lot about the internet. You click on that button, and on the right-hand side, the bar graph immediately changes. And it's extremely interesting to see these as a visual, because I always see them as a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the numbers...
A lot of people are visual.
Yeah, a lot of people are visual. I think this is a great way to do it. What things, like, if you guys had unlimited time, unlimited people, you know, I mean, if sky's the limit, what would you add? What would be the one thing you would just say, oh, here, you got to do this?
Well, our long-term goal is to have not just for California and not just for the state, but for every single city and county and for every single state government and the federal government, all spending and performance data online in really easy to understand interactive ways so that someone can have a question about what am I getting from my government and what am I paying for it, and go answer it. Because that's kind of the baseline that we actually need in order to settle so many of the conversations that we have about what should government be doing, how is it working. And right now, so little of it is documented. So little of it is measured in terms of performance, in terms of outcomes, which is ultimately what it's all about.
Yeah, because it's very, 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 very difficult, especially when you start having the budget discussions. You know, oh, we're going to bring in all this extra money, and oh, that doesn't cost that much. And now people can actually go look. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'll send things to someone, and they, oh, wow, that's just because I came from the Republicans, you know.
You know, you've got a little ticker tape that runs across the top, and I love this. The first step to fix a broken system is to understand how it operates. And you really have to go back to that point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really crucial. And so many of the problems that we have in California come from misunderstandings. You mentioned the pension issue. there are so many misunderstandings around what is an investment rate of return, what is a discount rate, what are these unfunded liabilities, and what do they have to do with my life as a taxpayer? And we want to help people understand these issues because they do have a direct consequence. One of the visualizations you mentioned there shows that depending on which of these investment rates we use, how we assume that our stocks are going to do that we're using to pay off public employee pensions, within 10 years, we may be spending all of our discretionary money on public employee pensions, which is a scary thought because that would mean no general government, no natural resources, no legislature, no judiciary, no executive branch. All it would be public employee pensions, K-12 education, and welfare.
Wow. No, seriously.
Bob, you didn't need to add a wow to that?
It's amazing to me. I don't know how old you are, 22, wow. 23, 24, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone lay it out so succinctly as you just did.
Thank you.
And then have
actually 21.
And then have the ability 21. To back it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, that's the biggie, is you have the ability to back it up because you got the numbers sitting there. Okay, when we come back, we're going to learn more about this. I'm sorry, Bob. Bob keeps flashing us the high sign, and we keep blowing him off. So we need to thank our advertisers for allowing this information to get out. So, folks, in the meantime, go to wethepeopleradio.us and click on the website and start looking around because I think that you will be super impressed. We will be back with you in just a couple minutes here at KCNR 1460. You're listening to the home of Free Fire Media.
I want to run through the halls in the high school. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. I just found out there's no such thing as a real world. Just a lie you got to rise above.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
But then they sent me away, teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, responsible, practical. And then they showed me a world where I could be so dependable, oh, clinical, oh, intellectual, cynical.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. We are talking to Dakin Sloss of CACS, California Common Sense. Hey, Dakin, I got a question. This whole program is underneath the umbrella of Stanford University. And when you graduate, what is your part going to be?
So we're actually a separate, independent, okay, 501c3 nonprofit. Most of us either are Stanford students or alumni, and I actually graduated about a week ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Right on.
I'm working full-time at this point.
Oh, great.
A team of 10 people that are all actually not at Stanford either because they've graduated or have taken time off to spend time on doing this.
But you do still, you have a connection to Stanford University. Is that connection the fact that a lot of you came from there?
Our connection is that a lot of us came from there, that it was started by us as students there.
Okay.
And that, you know, we still work with, you know, the Stanford Institute for Economics and Policy Research and other really great minds there that can help us when we run into problems that we don't know about.
Nice. Well, okay, so, you know, all great things start because of, you know, somebody's idea, and usually something kicks it off. So what was the... You know, really, what was the thing that motivated you to get going on all this? What were you guys doing?
So, I actually was not one of the founding members of the organization. It was one of my good friends, Matt Cook, who was a Stanford senior at the time, along with Jill Lonsdale, who is a pretty successful Silicon Valley entrepreneur and investor. He started Palantir Technologies with Peter Thiel. back, you know, 7-8 years ago, and that's now a multi-billion dollar company that does quite a bit for big data sets for the federal government and the world of finance, helping them track fraud, helping them track terrorists that save lives over in Iraq. So he's had a lot of experience with creating really exciting tools that help people sift through massive amounts of data and gain information and insight from them. And Joe and Matt happened to meet and were talking about kind of the state of affairs in California and realized that one of the key things missing was data, was facts, was information. Everyone seems to have a view about what's going on, and very few people seem to have the numbers to back it up on really either side at the moment. And we wanted to be that voice that would inject data and facts back into the conversation and try going that route.
That's great. So what about, you know, all these other guys are in there. How do you guys get funded? People just donate?
Yeah, I've spent quite a bit of time fundraising, and over the last 6 months, we've raised about $500,000, still going strong, and if people like what we're doing, appreciate support.
Now, what are the demographics of your donors?
It's a pretty good mix, you know, Democrat, Republican, old, young, kind of across the board. In general, we tend to lean towards Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and investors because we're really taking a Silicon Valley startup approach to this, and that's how we view ourselves.
Okay. That is fantastic. And so do you guys have a regular office and all that good stuff?
Yeah. There's a regular office. You know, there's 10 of us in there showing up 7 days a week, working all the time. So it's like any other Silicon Valley startup.
Now, aside from the fact that you guys love numbers and science and how the mind works, did you have a real strong political interest in your participation? I mean, was one of the motivating factors that drove you to become involved in this? Was it your concern for what's happening not only in the state of California but in our country, or was that something separate that just kind of happened to come along the way?
Sure. I mean, I think like all great things, they kind of both happen because they fit and just a coincidence of timing. So I was reaching the end of my junior year as a physics major, and I was just continually handing in problem sets, and those are just homework assignments. And the entire impact of my, like, work each week was I get a score 0 out of 10 or 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10 or whatever the score is, and I don't really see any impact of what I'm doing, and wanted to try something that would give some more feedback, and I could see some more meaning from it. So I got involved with California Common Sense through my friend Matt Cook, and it was a match made in heaven. I've really enjoyed doing both a combination of interesting research, but also research that can have some meaning for people's lives. And yeah, I am concerned about where our state and country is heading, and I think that we have a lot of the tools needed to get the conversation moving in the right direction and fix a lot of the problems that we see out there.
Now, are regulations in the state of California impacting Silicon Valley the way they are with our natural resources?
I think it does not hit Silicon Valley in the same way. It hits it in smaller ways. So one thing I personally ran into was it's very hard to hire people. The process is quite onerous, particularly people that are maybe over here, very smart Stanford students that are here on visas, for example. If you want to bring them into a project, you know, it's this long bureaucratic process. And there are quite a few pitfalls like that that I think slow down the process of getting a business going. But from my understanding of what's happening outside of Silicon Valley, it's nowhere near as bad.
Do you guys have any eye toward putting in a recommendation, you know, adding a part to your website that is kind of interactive as far as recommendations go?
Yeah, I mean, what we try to do is we try to show the potential impact of different policies and let the data and numbers speak for themselves, which can be really hard when you have a personal opinion about something. But we think that we can be most strong and most useful to the dialogue if we refrain from putting out our particular opinions. We let our researchers do that in the publication section, and there are some more op-ed and solutions-oriented pieces there, and that section will continue to grow. But we want our main focus to stay on being fact-based, nonpartisan, and if we started making it more about the solutions in the data explicitly itself, that would tend to lead to, I think, less credibility, and that wouldn't be a positive thing on the whole.
There you go. Well, I just wondered if maybe a spin-off, you know, subgroup or whatever would be one that, because you're getting all this information from government, so I wondered if there was any mechanism to feed back to them and complete the loop.
Oh, definitely. We're putting out some pretty serious reports that take care of that sort of issue. So you might have seen the report we did with CEPR, the Stanford Institute for Economics and Policy Research, that not only showed some of those alarming facts I was talking about related to pensions, that if we start contributing the way we actually need to pay off those obligations, we'll be spending all of the money other than education and welfare. That means no public safety, no jails, none of that stuff. And that report also goes on to talk about what is the potential impact of Governor Brown's plan and what is the potential impact of one of the initiatives that's out there by California pension reform to change how benefits for public employees are funded. And we don't explicitly say, again, this is what you should do, but we show people what the options are. And I think when you do that, it becomes somewhat of a triviality to deduce what we would think you should do. And it's also a role that someone else can play when the media picks it up, when you pick it up and look at it and put that last piece together.
Well, I for the people that are not big web people, and you know, they're listening to me reference things on this site, and they're thinking, yeah, I'm not doing it. Seriously?
It's really easy.
No, seriously, you got to go. It's cacs.org. Go on there. Look at the research tab. Click on the California government map. There are only two things there. Under research, it's either California government map or articles. Pretty easy. Click on the California government map. You will be blown away. At first, it looks pretty basic. You know, it says the governor's office, and then underneath that, you know, you've got stuff like, you know, transportation, Board of Equalization, Biodiversity Council. But you click on just like Arts Council, for instance, and all this stuff comes out. You have this, you literally have mapped government. So for people who are thinking, I get calls all the time. People want to know, well, who's the oversight for that? Who looks into this department? Who looks at that? How does it flow? And you guys already did that.
See,
you guys are going to save me a ton of time.
You guys are like a gift from God. I mean,
pretty
literally,
much.
This is like the all-inclusive answer to everybody's questions.
I hope that it gets to that point. I mean, I think there are definitely things that we can add. I'm quite proud of what we've done so far, but there's a lot more work to do. California government is a pretty big entity, and it spends quite a bit of money. We couldn't have hoped to solve all of it so quickly, but we're working on it.
Hey, so you're a taxpayer now. You're really seeing it from both sides.
I've been a taxpayer for a while.
Yeah. But just, I mean, real basic, you know, one of the things that affects us a lot are things that are under the Natural Resources Agency. So I clicked on that. That was just one little segment, and poof, pops up the whole thing. All the, here's CAL FIRE, the Energy Commission, the Conservation Corps, Coastal Commission. All of it's there, and then who's connected and how. And you could follow the food chain all the way back up, too. You guys have done a very nice job.
Yeah.
I'm a graphic person, and nothing irritates me more than when you click on something, everything else goes away. And unless you're familiar with how to track backwards, you know, people like my mom, you know, they click on it, and they wind up in no man's land, and they don't learn anything.
So, most people need easy.
Yeah. One of our primary goals is not to be an academic institution, a political institution, but a grassroots institution that the average person can and does engage with regularly, because so much of the problem right now is that the average citizen is not involved in these processes.
Yes.
We all like to be pretty negative about how elected officials are doing their job, but part of it is that we're not there doing our job. We are not involved, and we are not keeping track of it. And obviously, that's not an excuse for elected officials, but it does play a major component.
No, we have. That's really been the battle cry through the Tea Party Network up here in Northern California. Is, you know, we can't just get in, make a bunch of noise, and complain a lot. We've got to figure out how this works and attempt to lend a hand. The other thing too is when you go to any of these, segments, not only does it explain how they connect in the big picture, but you guys have links directly to their website off yours that open in another window, which is perfect.
And where it says detailed budget information there, if you click that, you can see the purpose and the budget and the number of employees if that information was available.
Absolutely spectacular. Okay, we're taking a quick break. Seriously, on the break, folks, cacs.org. Go click around. I would recommend you start at the research thing and look at the California government map. You'll be hooked. So you're listening to We the People Radio. We have Dakin Schloss on here, a recent graduate of Stanford University. We can't say you're a student anymore. And a fabulous entrepreneur. We'll be back with him in a couple of minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Serious, cause even on a slow day, I can have a three-way chat with two women at one time. I'm so much cooler online. Yeah, I'm cooler online. When you got my kind of stats, it's hard to get it.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Cold or cold.
Welcome back to We the People Radio.
Oh, hey, yeah, Dakin. We have to talk. We can't just sit here and fake sing.
Dakin, even you must know that song. Hey, we're with Dakin Schloss. He is with California Common Sense. You have got to go to the website. And if any of you out there think the young people aren't involved, well, he's just about to dispel all the rumors.
Yeah, forget it. So I found my email that I had just sent to this guy. I totally forgot you were coming on with us. And back when we had emailed back and forth to set the show up, I don't know, I got busy and, you know, we pre-recorded a bunch of stuff and I got out of the loop. I looked at this all last night and I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed to send this guy, because when you go to transparency.ca.gov, which is, you know, if you go to any of the other states, you know, lots of them have a transparency website, but there's a big message pops up. Governor Brown is committed to keeping the state government open and transparent while eliminating inefficiencies and unnecessary costs. The information previously available on this website is available through other sources, including the following. And it gives you the Fair Political Practices Commission, the State Comptroller's Office, the Department of General Services, and the Bureau of State Audits. Okay, so for the average person who just wanted to know some basic fact, if they were sent if they're given that set of information, how likely is it they'll get their information, Dakin?
Well, we could go out and do some official user testing, but the bad news is that's not where the problem really is. If you go click one of those links, let's say you've gotten past the kind of initial shock that instead of showing up at a transparency website, you've shown up at something that sends you somewhere else. None of the information there is something that can really be understood. It's these big data sets that don't mean anything to anyone that doesn't have advanced computing power to analyze them. And actually make some sense of them. So it's on the one hand, I was disappointed when the transparency website went down, but on the other hand, it wasn't really a loss of anything other than something symbolic, because the data that was up there.
That was funny.
You need really great politically snippets as just a little sidelight on your website, because that was a good one.
That was good.
Thank you. But essentially what was going on there was putting out a bunch of information in the name of transparency. And one of the things that we really push for in the transparency movement, because there are lots of people working on this, is a whole new way of thinking about it. Given what technology can do, you shouldn't just be putting out an Excel file. That's fine to put out, and you definitely need to put that out so that somebody who wants to dig into that can. But real transparency means putting it out in a way that the average person who doesn't want to spend months on this but wants to spend 10 minutes trying to understand it can do so, and that's what I think we bring to the picture. So hopefully at some point someone will get him to link out to us on that.
Okay, so this is a perfect illustration of how the bureaucratic mess that the state of California is in. They can't even produce information about how our own government is run, but then you flip over to the private sector and you find some Silicon Valley entrepreneurs who can come up with something that this entire state of California never could. I mean, if that doesn't tell everybody something.
Yeah, private industry versus government. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Did we lose him? Dakin,
no,
are you in there? Oh,
I'm thinking about it. And
I'm sorry, you can't do that. Didn't we send you that
note? Are you
going
to be politically correct? Is that what you're saying?
No, he was thinking.
We don't choose our words carefully here.
This is the gumball hour.
I understand. Yes, you're right. It's disappointing that they have about $200 billion, and they're doing what they're doing, and we have very little, and we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, shocking. Does that mean you're efficient?
We like to think so, but
and not overpaid.
We're also pretty open about our finances, and people can get our budget if they want to and get our list of donors and evaluate for themselves.
Well, I think it's a great example, you know, honestly. Do you have any idea how long the California Transparency website even existed before they took it down?
It was created by Governor Schwarzenegger, actually.
Short life.
I don't know the precise year, but not that long.
Jeez, another child of Governor Schwarzenegger. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say? Oh, I think we are going to like being live again. Gosh, it feels better.
You have to be careful. We're a little quiet in the first hour because we're still waking up. Second hour, we're on a roll.
It takes a while for the coffee to kick in. So he created it, so it wasn't even there very long. And you haven't
it had been up for a little bit.
How much did it cost us?
Budget cuts, that was apparently one of the things that needed to go.
How much did it cost us for him to put it together and then kill it?
I don't remember the exact amount, but relative to the other things that are staying, not much.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of curious about. Well, you know, it's amazing. You know, spend all this money on a project and then, I guess we can't do that. In real life.
I mean, if you take it at face value, if all it was doing was taking data that was on other websites and putting it there, shouldn't have caused. If it was costing them an appreciable amount, they were doing something wrong.
Well, because they have access to all of it.
Exactly.
So the difficulty you go through was not something that they. That was not an onerous burden upon them.
No. But I definitely would love to talk about the budget that came out earlier this week when we get a chance.
Yes, we would love that. We have 3 minutes here until it cuts us off for the news. Give me, I noticed you have Facebook likes on a lot of the pages, you know, where people can just click the like button. For people who don't use Facebook or use it but don't really know what that means, they click the like buttons and then just kind of go, huh, I wonder what that did. Give people an incentive. Why do you do that?
Because what this is all about is about not just you learning about the information that likes Facebook. I dislike it a tremendous amount. I think that there's huge privacy issues. Don't tend to use it for personal reasons. But if you want to build a movement, if you want to get other people to see the things that you're seeing, there is no better tool out there. And I think everyone that wants to be an activist and that wants to do anything about any problem that requires other people to care should be on Facebook, not to post about what they're doing or what they're eating.
Yes, I think that should actually be outlawed.
Yeah, because we don't care.
Well, I cannot tell you how many friends I've turned off what's showing up on my wall because I just don't want to see it. But I guess I'm old-fashioned. I like to talk to people in person or on the phone or something like that. But if you want to build a movement, so let's say you see this research article about the pension problem, and you want some other friend to see it, well, when you click that like button, it shares to your wall. So every single one of your friends sees that. And what it allows you to do is, instead of having to send massive numbers of individual emails, instead of having to call everyone you know, you suddenly have this cool power of the social grid where you've clicked one button and that can reach 100 people, and then if somebody else clicks the same button after they saw it, that can reach another 100 people, and this thing can start to go viral, which is what we need to have happen with California government, because right now, not enough people understand and not enough people are paying attention.
And you know, the thing is, you may not like social media, but you can't ignore the fact that that is where things are going.
It has horsepower. Okay, folks, we've got 5 minutes. CACS.org. Go check it out while we're on break. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You're joining the second hour of We the People Radio. Give us a call at 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. And if this is your first time tuning in, we are about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. Thanking all our listeners out there. We're glad you're tuning in.
Then she just stops talking and looks down at her computer. You're killing
me. Take it away, Aaron.
You're killing me. All right, Bob. Bob was playing around with the phone during the break, and he found Oscar Braun on there.
Yes, last week's guest is now this week's caller.
This week's live human. So Oscar Braun is the, I don't know if he wrote it or just is the peddler of, but we'll just say he's the purveyor of. Yeah, that's good. He's the purveyor of the California Bill of Rights initiative that's out now to be circulated, signed, and returned promptly. I'm reading from the initiative. It's the elimination of environmental protection laws and agencies. It's an initiative that is a constitutional amendment. Therefore, it requires a boatload of signatures. You'll have to get on it right away, but it repeals these things that we know and love. We couldn't imagine living without. Could we? The California Environmental Quality Act, that would be CEQA for you, those of you in the know. The California Coastal Act, California Endangered Species Act, California Global Warming Solutions Act. Gosh, what do we do with
that? Otherwise known as AB 32.
And we were sweating a little while ago. That was probably what was doing it. We better not get rid of that. And the California Sustainable Communities and Climate Protection Act. It's pretty much getting rid of everything we don't like.
Yeah.
So this would be a good initiative to jump on board and sign. You can find it online at CABillOfRights.org.
Or if you're in the Northern California area, we'll be distributing these through the Tea Party.
Exactly.
All the different Tea Parties in Northern California, Southern Oregon.
That's right, because Oscar sent us a whole bunch of them pre-printed on tablets. So if you would like a few pages or part of a tablet or whatever, it doesn't do us any good to have them in a pile. Good to get them out there. So, Oscar, you've got a comment and also questions for Dakin.
Good morning. Yes.
Fire away.
Purveyor. Now,
yeah, you're the purveyor now, because I'm not really sure if you wrote it.
Good morning, Dakin. I've really enjoyed the show up tonight. It's just been fabulous. I would like to know if I could encourage you folks to do a visualization of the legislative analyst opinion that was released actually in 2010. It's posted on our website. In the first row of links. But it's an analysis that shows that's all about economic leakage, and it shows why with AB 32 and all these environmental laws, why our California workers have evolved to a point where we're no longer competitive, not only worldwide, but even with our neighboring states. So that would be... that's the reason why I contacted you folks last week, and would love to see if you could add a visualization to that particular component.
Hi, Oscar. Oscar, yeah, thanks for contacting us before, and as I'm actually looking at the website, thank you for putting up a pretty prominent link to us. Appreciate it a lot.
Well, you guys are literally the stars.
Oscar,
thank you.
Doesn't it give you hope when you, if you go to his website and you look at their staff and their analysts, doesn't it give you hope that, our future actually has some bright minds involved?
Actually,
tremendously so.
It makes me feel old.
And Dave, let me share something with you that I shared on the last weekend show. Excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat. But I told the listeners the story of the Bear Flag Revolt that was in 1846, and it was a small group of settlers, 30 settlers, 33 settlers actually, up in Sonoma, that were ordered by the General Santa Anna to, you know, abandon the state, abandon their property, their livestock, and just leave. And rather than do that, they took up arms and they captured General Vallejo in Napa, I mean Sonoma. And 25 days later, we were annexed into the United States. And there's a link also there on the homepage that tells the story. And there's a wonderful proclamation that the first president for those 25 days, his name was William Idy, made. And your team over there at Stanford, starting with Matt Cook, I guess, who is the official founder from what you were saying this morning, you are the William Idys of the 21st century, and just refusing to have anything other than Republican governance and compliance with the Constitution. And that is all brought about by the transparency that you little brainiacs down there have put together. I mean, I just, I'm just in a state of hysteria and giddiness with the amount of information that you have on your site, but also the ease in which, the average person, can understand it. You say, what's this costing me? And as I said, I think the only component that I feel that we would really need to show is the type of information that where regulations here in California are providing, again, the technical term is, economic leakage. It's actually hemorrhaging the impacts of these laws, like the global warming one. And so that's what I've
been Definitely, yeah, and for. We're in the process of working with the LAO to figure out how we can best take a lot of the good information that they put out and get that out to people. So that's one of the things we're looking at. And relevant to the initiative that you mentioned, we're actually launching an entire platform where sponsors of initiatives can share information about that initiative along with data visualizations that we create showing the LAO study and other studies.
Wow.
So we really do want to be that resource for people to get that information.
Spectacular. And you got a timeline on that? Because obviously we're in the midst. We've got about 108 days left to wrap up our and qualify our particular petition. But when would
Given the number of initiatives that there are, it's highly unlikely that we will be able to do it until the initiatives are wrapped up, though it's possible. We're likely thinking that we're going to wait until some of the initiatives have fallen out, because, I mean, I think there's 70 at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just a gazillion of them.
Huh.
But we could definitely keep the discussion going after this about ways we can work together.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Well, thanks a lot, Oscar.
Well, thank you guys for having Dakin on. It's just, like I say, it's my fantasy that to find some way in which we can actually, educate the public as to how to interact with their government and, frankly, take control. And the best of luck to you. Look forward to collaborating with you and your team in the upcoming week.
Look at that.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oscar.
Imagine that. Two sensible, political,
yeah,
kind of, conservative-leaning people all down, that was Half Moon Bay?
Mm-hmm.
You got Half Moon Bay and basically Los Altos. Is that where you guys are based, is Los Altos?
We have an office in Los Altos, yes.
That's what I figured. That's very cool. Very cool. And so, when you talk to, businesses in your area and you're out, since I would imagine you're the fundraising guy, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, because you'd be good at that. You should come. Yeah. Oh, by the way, on our chat room, people are like, can he come and help us? No, he's busy. But that's the one thing Elizabeth and I have decided that we're really not good at. But
you just have to be comfortable asking people and then sitting there in an awkward silence, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
That's probably the part where...
As long as you wait long enough, they'll say something and it'll probably result in money.
Yeah, because what is it? He who speaks first is buying?
Exactly.
Yes, like I do remember that. I have had, you know, training in that. I just, you know, never really put the pedal to the metal there. But anyway, I just wanted to... Bob gives me the one-minute sign. Oh, okay, forget that thought. It's too long.
we're flexible here. You can...
Oh, sure.
It's not like we have the news coming up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No big hand comes out of the sky, and we're not on webcam or anything, so we can't see all the other stuff that goes on. So anyway, I'm looking at all the stuff you guys have on here, and I'm thinking, okay, do you ever take... volunteers? I mean, if somebody wanted to volunteer to do research or things like that, is that something you look at?
Yeah, we'd love to be contacted by anyone that wants to get involved, spending time helping. Right now, the biggest thing we need is folks like you that want to get the word out there. We are going live with that new component that will be even easier to use, if you can imagine, in 2 weeks on January 25th. And we're going to put out another report on pension systems across California, except this time it's going to look at every single municipality's pension system. So you'll be able to see for your local government.
So really, there's no hiding anymore.
Oh, let's just pause and soak that one up.
I love it.
Well, the reason I thought of that is, you've got like high school students and all these people that they can use, you know, they could use that for extra credit and stuff.
Yeah, internships.
Let's put them to do something productive.
Exactly, and we need people out there organizing at the grassroots level like you guys do, getting this out to people, because our goal was during that first week of it being up there to get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, going and learning about this, and we have a whole campaign plan for that, but we could really use anybody's help who has mailing lists, who has community organizations to tell about this. This information needs to get to as many people as possible.
Aaron's got constant contact.
Yeah, I went out to like 2,000 people on Friday, so
yeah.
They've got it. We'll send the archive out to them, too. Well, you know what? We'll send out your release. When you get your release for your new thing, that'll be 2 weeks. That'd be a good time to send it out, and we'll add the radio program to it so they can hear this as well.
So really, if people take advantage of getting educated on this, the politicians can't lie to them anymore.
Bingo.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is not going to be the end of the solution, but it is going to be the beginning.
There you go.
If we have an educated voter base, and we have knowledge about those things that are going on in Sacramento that some people don't want us to know, then we can have some real frank discussions about how to move forward. But it's not even a remote possibility until that wall is broken down.
Well, I think that's cool. Okay, we got to take a swift break. We'll be back. We have Kay on the line who has a question, so hang in there, Kay. And we'll put you on with Dakin as soon as we return. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
And I can change the world. I'll be the sunlight in your universe. You would think my love was really something good. Maybe if I could change.
We're talking to Dakin Sloss. The hope for our future, I think.
You're always affected by the music. If it's like a slow song, she's all, hi, welcome back. if it's like a really happy song, she's like, hi, welcome back. It's kind of funny. We're going to have to mess around with that a little bit more.
How fun is that, though? You think your music doesn't matter, Bob. Totally it does.
Oh, no. It's got Elizabeth on the mellow train.
I think I turned you into Delilah for this segment.
Is she on still?
What a goof.
Wow.
Dakin, this is what happens when you get old.
No. I need to get this soundtrack. It's great.
Just in case your parents are totally normal.
Yeah. We're not.
You know,
no chance.
Before we bring Kay on, I've been thinking about this for an hour, but it keeps leaving my mind when it's actually time for me to ask a question. What about the judges? Are you guys going to do anything with the judges on this site? Because that's
with California's judges?
Yeah, that is always the minefield. Every election, people are like, we can't get the information. We don't even know what they voted on. We don't even know if they're good or bad.
Well, we've got employee pay in the California Judicial Branch. Is that a place to start?
One thing you can see that's interesting is that employee pay in the judicial branch is actually higher than anywhere else in the California state government, which makes some sense because judges are, JDs usually and should be getting paid more. But if you actually go digging around in the data, which is the sort of thing we have fun doing, you find out that everybody in the judicial branch is getting paid more. Custodians, instead of getting kind of the average in other parts of the government, which is about $30,000, they're getting $40,000.
So
accountants are getting an extra $20,000 or $30,000.
They have higher quality trash?
they have more trash.
We haven't figured out the answer to this one yet.
A better class of garbage.
this is exactly kind of what our data is so powerful for. It allows you to start that question and answer process. Whereas before, there's really no way to think that that's an issue that we should be talking about.
Wow.
But you asked, what are we doing about the judges? So
yeah. Do you have a plan for that?
Say it again?
I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you have a prognosis on when that might be added?
That'll happen at some point in the next 4 to 5 months. It's not the most urgent priority on the list, but we are doing a very, very detailed study of the relationship in different counties between what we're putting in, what we're spending, and what we're getting out, performance. And we've actually done the relationship in detail, and that's up on our site, for what we're putting in. And the courts is one of those where it's very, very hard to figure out what are we getting out, because there's not a good way to measure justice being served. But we're working on it, and we're working with some very important former elected officials that know a tremendous amount about this. I can't say too much more than that right now. But I'm pretty optimistic that we'll have some good answers by June at the latest.
That's great, because there were a couple of sites I found last year that actually listed. I mean, it's not that you want necessarily any kind of secret information. You just kind of want to know what their record is. You know, where are they consistently on gun rights? You know, where are they on these other things? And all the information is there if you have time to sit down and compile it. But most people don't know how to read through court documents. It takes a very long time. And then once you know, how do you get the information out? So you are a logical place for that to pop up. And we would be eternally grateful, because that's the people, I think that's the one thing people feel the weakest about when they go to cast their ballot. It's like, oh, God, I got to vote for the judges again.
Yeah.
And so people have just started voting no for everybody, because they don't want to blow it and get some knucklehead in there.
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know, just...
Kay on the line.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God.
I just looked down at the coffee, and I saw Kay written on this little whiteboard.
Real quickly, we've got just some of the visual blocks that you can click on. California's education, leaving students behind, excessive transportation benefits for public officials, a problem we must retire, California's pension crisis, the economic reality of the California budget crisis, the death penalty in California is inefficient, despite the fact that actual executions are rare. So these are some of the things that you can kind of dig into. The top five issues driving California's overspending. And the cartoon on that one says pensions. Anyway, just food for thought, folks.
Kay, you've been our hostage long enough.
Hi, Elizabeth and Aaron.
Hi.
This is a good program.
Well, I'm glad you like it, since you were trapped on hold for all
Sorry
that
about
time.
That.
Well, I don't know what I missed, because I turned down the radio and couldn't hear it.
Oh, drats.
Is Miss I was just wondering, I'm really happy that Mr. Sloss and his colleagues are doing this. I have a special, there's a special place in my heart for Stanford anyway.
Aww.
It's the nickname is The Farm, and it truly is. It's a special place, even though it's so modern and up to date. And I was just wondering if Mr. Sloss is from Alturas, or if his family is from Alturas.
Hi, Kay. Yeah, thanks. And please call me Dakin. No, we're not actually from Alturas. We're from the San Francisco area originally.
So you're not related to the Slosses in Modoc County.
It's possible. There's a lot of our relatives out here, but I'm not aware of those.
I thought it was interesting because you were your question about why Modoc County's legal costs are so much. And
oh, certainly, yeah. No, that's one of the stories on that beta site, that forum that we're still testing out, and that was actually posted, I think, by our research director, Bodon. But thank you for listening in and commenting on it.
Well, the interesting thing about Alturas is I think in the 60s and 70s, probably per capita, there were more Stanford graduates in county government than any place else.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the DA, the judges, the attorneys, I mean, they were almost all from Stanford. The only one that really was from Berkeley that I know of was Brunel Christensen. He kind of broke the mold. But I just thought you'd be interested in that. But thank you
Definitely.
Anyway.
Thank
keep
you for
up
letting
the
me
good
know.
Work. We need all the help we can get.
Hey, Kay, doesn't it give you hope?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That,
I mean, Stanford is a special place. It really is. And the gentleman that you talked about who's doing the
initiative process?
Well, the one who has the university for kids who aren't in school. You know, he pays him $100,000 to set up a business, the idea that they have.
Oh, that's neat.
Peter Thiel's 20 under 20, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of exciting things happening at Stanford. I mean, and it's just, there's just an atmosphere there that encourages things like that. And so
yeah, no, it's
work.
A very cool place, and innovation becomes the norm instead of something exceptional.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kay. Bye.
Bye.
That is very cool. Well, you know, it's interesting because I had spent, you know, like 4 months down there because the VA hospital is right around the corner. And it's a pretty low-key place. I knew there were tons of people there, but it just doesn't really feel, except for on, what is it, El Camino? Is that the main? I forget what the main road is there, but...
Yes.
That's where the pizza place was. I was the food fetcher, you know, for, you know, we got sick of eating cafeteria food, so I'd go, you know, go out and forage, and so that was my main, drag, you know, go look for stuff. But, you know, it's an interesting place to have that many people, and yet it's not really a frantic, pace you keep there, so I can understand why you stayed. Where'd you grow up? Like, what town did you grow up in?
I was actually born in Vienna, Austria, because my dad was doing arms control negotiation at the end of the Cold War.
Get
and
out.
I've lived all over the place. We moved to D.C., to St. Louis, to the Bay Area, but I consider the Bay Area my home.
Well, and how nice that you've lived all over the country, because you kind of get a bigger perspective.
And Vienna's actually in another country. So he's lived in
exactly,
a couple of countries
exactly.
there. She didn't even laugh.
I got to tell you, I'm like obsessed with this website.
I was going to say you've ruined her. She's here doing research.
All I do is I'm not paying any attention to what my job is here this morning.
I've lost my perfect foil,
and I'm
I'm going to have to tease Bob now.
And I'm researching your website. I can't take my eyes off of it.
Not sure if
that's... Well, no, I mean that's the biggest problem with the idea. People just get addicted to it, and
it
can ruin lives.
It's laid
it can
out.
Ruin lives.
Is that good or bad that he and Schwarzenegger share the same birthplace?
Oh, dun, 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 dun. That's why he has a psychology degree. Self-help is a powerful tool. Okay, let's ponder that. We've got 2 minutes to thank our advertisers and recover, and then we will be back with the last half hour of We the People Radio.
And I will come back on this half hour.
Yeah, we're shutting Elizabeth's computer
off. We definitely have to talk about the California budget that came out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, God, we never did that.
That was
a half hour ago.
I was just going to say
Dakin, for God's sake, just keep... I told you it was your job to keep us on track.
See, somebody came by and brought us extra coffee this morning. That's the problem.
You like that blame there? A little bit of blame. It's Dakin's fault, but we will talk about the budget when we return. And 2 minutes, yeah? KCNR, 1460 AM. You're listening to the home of Free Fire Media.
Got some discount knowledge at the junior college where we majored in beer and girls. It was all real funny till we ran out of money and they threw us out into the world. Yeah, the kids that thought they'd run this town ain't a-running much of anything. Just loving and laughing and busting our asses, and we call it all living the dream. But these are my people. This is where I come from.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know what and what is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be.
I was telling Bob that I know they knew what a bust the public education system was 40 years ago when they were writing these songs.
How prescient was Steely Dan in 1973?
Exactly.
Yeah, you think? Right.
Yeah, but I like the outgoing one.
It's
you
old
got
news.
A discount. What was it? You got a discount at the junior college or whatever?
That's a discount knowledge at the junior college.
Discount knowledge at the junior college.
Rodney Atkins, these are my people.
Oh, oh my God.
Awesome.
God.
He's like a virtual encyclopedia walking around on two legs.
Exactly. Because four would make him a dog and he wouldn't have thumbs to use the mouse. It'd be a problem.
Okay. So, going off on a wild trail there.
So, well, they are bringing wolves into Shasta County, so I guess, you know, we should stick with the theme.
So, welcome back to We the People in case you didn't know what you were tuning into. And thank you for thank you for still listening to us.
Yeah, if you wanted a serious show, you'll have to.
Because we decided, if you listened to our show when we first started, we were very serious and professional, and we realized some of the issues out there were so nuts that we had to make fun of them.
Yeah. Besides that, that was just our personality.
Yeah.
We repressed it as long as we could.
We did. And
broke through.
Yeah.
Hey,
no
so,
more.
You know, speaking of one and one is two, they're on the little song. I thought, what a perfect intro to the California budget, Dakin.
Yeah, I agree.
So, fire away. What'd you guys find?
We have not found anything too revolutionary yet, but I think it's important for people to know what's going on there. I mean, essentially, Governor Brown presented a budget that implements some further cuts to Health and Human Services, to welfare programs, and then said, I'm putting an initiative on the ballot asking for $7 billion in tax increases. Otherwise, I'm going to cut education spending enough such that schools closed for three weeks a year. So he put it forth to taxpayers to decide between those two things, which I think is something that everyone needs to know and be thinking about what sort of decision they're going to be making.
And seriously, pulling the kids out of public education for 3 weeks in the state of California is not exactly a bad thing.
Except their parents are all freaking out.
I know, because they have no way to watch them.
You know, my kids were little. What do you do?
Yeah, I know.
It's like an auto, you know, 3 week thing.
But they would have 3 weeks to think for themselves. Yeah.
It's interesting to me that instead of proposing to cut the county offices of education, for example, or all the employees in the state office of education, mm-hmm. it's naturally we close down the schools. Why are we prioritizing the bureaucracy that gets in the way of that education?
Well, because
rather than the education itself.
They blackmail us with things that they know are important to us.
That's what they're doing. It's a bit of a threat.
And so when you guys, and actually that budget and all that information kind of got leaked out, I think he wasn't planning on doing that for a little while, so that's kind of funny.
Gotta love that mainstream media.
Oopsie.
They just clicked the wrong button and uploaded it to their website, actually.
Were they using their thumbs? Were they on four legs
Speaking of evolutionary details.
I don't know, but I mean, that tells you something.
It's kind of scary.
It tells you a lot, and it should tell you a lot. Okay, so based on what you have been studying and all that, can you give people, you know, you're really big on doing graphics online, but can you give people an auditory graphic, if you will, on what's going on with the budget? I mean, what do you guys find?
Sure. I mean, we for 20 years, you know, have been in bad budget situations, whether we've recognized it or not. And the solution each year seems to be either asking for more taxes or using accounting tricks that push the burden on to the next year. And it's a little too early in this cycle to tell what exactly is going to happen, because the legislature still has its turn to weigh in, and then a revision of the budget will come. But the essence of this, and the heart of it, is that government is claiming it has scaled back all of the inefficiencies that it possibly could. And at this point, the only solution is either to cut really what are considered the core programs, or to raise taxes. Now, I do want to say that they do propose to eliminate 39 different state entities and reduce the number of agencies, which are positive steps in getting rid of overlap. None of these are really getting rid of entities so much as consolidating where there are two or three entities doing the same thing. And that's a positive thing, but I think those sorts of efficiencies, better business practices for government, are the things we should be focusing on and looking at, instead of making this false dichotomy that you either have to drastically raise taxes or kind of close down everything and go into this emergency situation. There are so many places where we could take that complicated map that you see on our website, representing the California state government, and make it into a more sensible structure, one that actually serves the purposes that people are looking for.
Well, and if you really cut to the chase, I think Governor Brown is beholden to the unions, and I think that's where a lot of the money goes.
There's quite a bit of money going there, as you can see in the study on pensions. And it's a shame, because it's not something where it should be union workers versus taxpayers. Both are actually getting the short end of the stick in this one, because in the long run, those pension benefits are unsustainable, and those union workers have been promised something that they've been planning for and they're not going to get, and taxpayers have been planning to have services that they're not going to get. It's a broken system where elected officials do kind of the expedient thing, which is, instead of giving away salary increases, they promise pension benefits that are very generous, and in the long term can't actually be paid out. But then that union leader feels quite happy that they have earned something for their constituents, those union members, and the elected official doesn't see the cost of what they've agreed to during their term.
I haven't done an exhaustive look at the website, but do you guys compare the actual payment to say unions? You know, they always say that it's lower pay but better benefits at the end. You know, there's a trade-off, but at least locally, we don't see that there's a trade-off. I mean, they're making awesome money and they're getting amazing benefits.
We are in the process of putting together a database of every public employee in the state of California at the state and local levels, and doing the same thing for every state across the country, and the federal level, and representative statistics for the private sector. So one of the most exciting things I think we're looking at is we can settle this question once and for all, because so often you get a union-funded study that says one thing, and a study that is claimed to be discreditable because it was funded by someone on the right, and those two studies clash heads, and they both put out figures, and there's no real way to distinguish between them. But we're putting together kind of the comprehensive database on this that looks at the employee level.
Yeah, and statistics can be tweaked, so it kind of depends on which way you want to lean.
But, you know, when you look at, I'm looking at one thing on your website, the California Executive Branch, just the Executive Branch, currently comprises 530 discrete institutions, 11 agencies, 79 departments, and more than 300 boards and commissions. I mean, what are we running the whole world? You know, yeah. I mean, that's crazy, and it's got to be insanely expensive. We have Don Shulman on the line, and just a little program note, we will no longer be hearing the anti-common sense hour after us. We will now be
No more three-wheelers with orange extension cords in the back seat pulling up in front of the
KCNR.
No more
tiny electric cars or anything, and kind of taking some of the fun out of it. But, you know, Don, we're going to see you an hour early.
Don will smile at us when he comes. In.
Welcome, Don Shulman.
You know what I really don't like about all of this? It's government by blackmail. If you don't give me what I want, then I'll blackmail you. I'll take away services for the handicapped and for the challenged people that you're taking, healthcare workers at home. We'll take your kids and leave them home so you have to pay more money for babysitting. And I bought an elephant so that I could be environmentally correct after listening to Dr. Drake.
Are you going to compost?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That, too.
I like it. I like it. And handy, too. I mean, up in Wairika, they're fighting over whether or not you can have a few chickens in your yard. But, you know, hey, elephant, why not? Just go all the way.
Yeah, my neighbor doesn't like it, but the elephant loves my neighbor, so what's the difference?
Yeah, tell him to get his own. So your program now is not going to be 2 hours. It's going to be three. You are a Sunday now. You're like the whole Sunday morning gig. You start now at 10, and you go till, what, like 6 o'clock at night or something?
Oh, no, nine o'clock. They're gonna put me in the freezer there at KCNR and reconstitute me every Sunday.
That's outstanding. And poor Judy, she'll probably get tangled up in that too. But what's your extra hour going to be about?
Well, we have a surprise in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be I don't want to say it's going to be you and your pets because I don't want to reveal that yet. But there's so many animal lovers.
My pets are in the car. I could bring them in.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. They're probably more intelligent than the legislators running our government.
Well, I can't say that because I know some smart ones, but, you know, yes, and by and large, that would be a broad brush accurate sweep.
My dog is very smart. I said to him, "What's that up there?" And he goes, "Ruff." And the guy next to me laughed. And I said, no, he's smart. I said, "Who's the greatest baseball player?" And he said, "Ruff." And he walked out, and the dog looked at me and said, "Should I have said Lou Gehrig?"
It's going to be an hour of dog jokes. Okay, I'm sorry. Did I guess it?
Well, maybe you guys can stay over for 10 or 15 minutes and we'll talk about a few things.
We could talk dog jokes, or we could just use the attack watch button and play that over and over and over and say mean things about the government.
We could be Steinfeld. We don't have to talk about anything.
We could have a show about nothing. My goal in life. Everybody's like,
let's do that.
Cool.
Let's take about 15 minutes and we can talk about nothing.
Hey, somebody's fries are done. All right, Don, we'll see you in a little bit.
I'm saying good. Thank you.
Okay, say hi to my dogs. They're in the truck out front. And
that was the backup warning on the elephant.
I was like, what is that beep? Don's fries are done. He's cooking fries in the car. What's going on? So, Dakin, this is a program like no other. We wander freely between topics.
Sure.
Yes. So, we've always had the hour after us has always been...
the exact opposite of us.
The exact opposite. Yes, exactly. So we talk about regulation and this and that.
And they
talk,
could never look us in the eye when they came in.
Well, you know, one guy was pretty nice. But it was funny because they always talked about, the global warming and all that stuff. So it was always just like, man, weird. Just weird. So now we don't have that anymore. Kind of nice.
Let me just say, Dr. Craig has been a good friend of the station for the last
years. I was going to say, I don't mean to throw him under the bus. He's a really nice man, and actually I never talked to him. So
we wish him well in his future endeavors.
The topics is the part that I was kind of chuckling about, because it was always funny. It's like, wow, we're just really working from different playbooks.
But at least it gave listeners both sides of the story.
Exactly.
Which is what we're all about here at KCNR.
Absolutely.
Which is actually kind of cool.
Okay, so now we've wandered into a corner. Okay, let's take a break. In doubt, take a break. We're coming back with the last 15 minutes. Dakin, what do you want to talk about when we come back so that we can focus? Because obviously we need to do that.
I think we should talk about where we're going next.
That sounds awesome.
Nice. That's nice and broad. You be sure to drive that bus when we return. You are listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Study nuclear science. I love my classes. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better. I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hey, everyone, listen up your attention, if you please. Really want to give you a warning, because I found out this morning about a dangerous, insidious computer virus. If you should get any mail with the subject Stinky Cheese, then I'm not for taking the chances. Under no circumstances should you open. It's gonna make your computer screen freeze.
Look out!
Erase the Easter eggs off your DVDs.
Look out!
Erase your hard drive and your backups too. And the hard drive of anyone related to.
Ooh, smart meters! It's smart meters. Okay, welcome back to We the People.
That's the new smart meter commercial.
Yeah. 605-475-4567. Give us a call. We're
that
streaming
called,
and chatting live.
Virus alert from Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, that's
wondering.
Who that is. I was trying to get the same tempo in my little spiel here, but to prove you guys right.
You'd have to talk a lot faster.
Okay, Dakin.
All right, Dakin. Where do we go from
let's
here?
Let's wrap this up with God's where we're
oh, it's
going.
Oh, it's all on me. That's not fair.
Let's face it. There are no standards. You could go anywhere from here and be okay.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I definitely want to focus on the launch we have coming up on the 25th. That is a very important thing for us. So far, we've had lots of research come out, good success with that, lots of good data come out. And the next step is to give someone the really, really easy tools they need to share this with anyone across the world. So this civic engagement platform is essentially a tool where someone can log on, and they can look at an issue, and users generate these issues by playing with the data. So maybe we talked about the judicial thing before. Maybe they find that custodians are getting paid a whole lot in the judicial branch, and someone shares that issue, and other people can vote to fix it. And it's as simple as clicking a button. And once enough people click a button, elected officials will respond there about that issue. So not only is it transparency, it's true accountability, where citizens and elected officials connect online to actually start resolving these issues. And we're going to start with that local pension report. That's when we'll launch. So people will be able to go online if they want and vote to fix issues related to the pension system in their particular area. They'll be able to do that with education, with prisons, with all the issues that people care the most about. So that's very exciting for us.
That is very cool. Now, okay, when you have legislators respond, do you have you contacted people already, and are you asking them to kind of keep an eye on the site, or are you guys going to send out a general kind of a cattle call, hey, anybody want to weigh in type of thing?
We have a featured section for them to respond, and we've been working closely with them because we think that's an important part of the process. And essentially, they all have notification systems so that when their constituents are taking actions on the site, they'll find out about it.
Ooh. Nice. And so you'll know basically what, by zip code or...
Exactly. We ask people to enter their address, and that's really important. We don't use that data for anything, and that allows us to map them to their elected official.
That's very nice because, I mean, you know, people can, like, I know that the fourth district Senate office is working a lot on the high speed rail project. So if somebody from some other place has commentary about high speed rail, I know that the LaMalfa office winds up speaking to a lot of those folks because they don't make a distinction really. I mean, they don't blow them off because they're not their constituents, but. As far as how your elected people feel about things, that's a great way
that
to
that is nice.
Deal in fact.
Hey,
very
I
nice.
Have to beg you and all of your colleagues and your analysts never to go to work for the government, please. We need you out here.
I
after what they've learned?
I'm not going to go work for the government. I'm not sure that the incentive structures make the most sense.
Yeah, because you know they make promises they can't keep.
You don't have to worry about that for me.
All right.
Yeah, you already know where the pension program is going, so it's not really
no,
the
I mean, carrot. It's sometimes tempting when you see that.
The best and the brightest minds need to stay on the outside of the government. Hey, have you ever read Atlas Shrugged?
I have indeed.
Ah, why am I not surprised by that?
I actually started an Objectivist campus club at Stanford.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was one of the bigger campus clubs in the country.
Nice.
I love it. Yeah, most of, I always do all my blogging under John Galt because I figure if we could just get John Galt on board, we could get out of this mess. But
not related to California common sense because they're really separate things. But from my personal perspective, that's one of the best books out there that everyone should be reading.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter when you read it. I mean, I read it, 20-some-odd years ago, and it was really relevant then. Then I read it 10 years ago, and it was really relevant then. And then now, of course, it's kind of like watching the news.
And I also find it sort of curious that they've decided now is the time to put it out into a movie form.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, don't go watch the movie. Didn't love the movie.
Yeah, it leaves too much out.
But see, for people who are really, really overwhelmed by the size of the book and just won't, they won't wade in at all, I thought that the movie, besides the fact you'd have to do it as three movies, but it was pretty brilliant that they left people hanging, at Wyatt's oil field. Because I know a lot of people after that who did go get the book. They couldn't stand the suspense.
If it served that value, then that's great. But I will not be watching the second or third movies.
Yeah, it was just tough because you can't get the character, you can't get the depth of character in
very few movies.
In a movie, I mean,
transition well from a book.
Not really. Here somebody on the chat says, but the movie made you want to read the book, and that's true. And that was the part I did like about it.
I'm glad about that. I'm very glad about that.
Not enough to watch the next movie.
And if you try to find copies, I don't know if they've done any reprintings, but if you try to find copies, that book is hard to find.
Yeah, and
Atlas Shrugged?
Yeah.
Well,
at least here.
If you want to find a hardback, it's mostly in paperback, and paperback's brutal to read with a book that large. But anyway.
Definitely. It shouldn't be hard to find, though. There are a lot of people putting a lot of time and energy in making sure that people can get easy access to that.
Yeah. Yes, it is a good one. So, how do you find folks to come work with your thing? Do they find you?
I've recruited a lot of Stanford students. Go out and do programs like this and do talks in people's homes and just get people knowing about it. So if anybody has recommendations, please send them along.
Now, I know this doesn't matter and it shouldn't matter, but just on a personal level, I'm kind of curious. You, your colleagues, your analysts, all the people that are on your staff, do you have a particular way that you lean politically?
I mean, I have one way. Other people have another way.
Okay.
I think if it's clear that I like Atlas Shrugged, not too much more needs to be inferred.
No, that's true.
But, I mean, I consider myself actually an objectivist, which is not a popular position. But I've been really, really careful that we recruit people from all sorts of perspectives, people who I vehemently disagree with about some things.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of this effort is everyone can agree about this.
Yeah,
this
just
is
numbers.
Open government. This is let's have an informed discussion. Let's look at the facts and let's put aside all of the other concerns for a little bit and just figure out what do the facts say? Are the preconceived notions that we have right or wrong? Does the data support it? And I think that's something we all need to examine along the way. And hopefully when we do that as a group, we'll come to better decisions.
Yeah, it's interesting because that is the point of all of her work. And any of the interviews, if anybody has seen interviews with Ayn Rand, is, it was, could we just be factual?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't like that.
They don't.
They struggle against that.
There's a good one that she has with Phil Donahue. You should go on to YouTube and look that one up. That's a doozy.
Probably already seen that one. That was amazing. It was like a six-part series, and she just lays out Phil Donahue.
Yeah, she filleted him.
But honestly, you do have to be objective, and especially in California now, because the emotional ramp-up, especially if they're going to go for this giant tax increase, The emotional ramp up's going to get big, really big, really
fast.
Yeah,
no, and I mean, it's going to be more important than ever that somebody is putting out the information in a way that people can understand and that people can turn to kind of settle these questions.
Well, and you know, if there's a power bigger than us, it certainly knew that the time was right for what you're doing.
Thank you, thank you.
I mean, okay, so final thoughts for people. We got like a couple of minutes here. Send people to the website.
Definitely, and there's certainly some depressing things happening now. I personally think we are at a pivotal time where if we don't act now, and I know like young people do this in every generation, say this in every generation, but if we don't act now, we're not going to be the same place that we've always been. And the starting point for any action, the starting point for any discussion has to be the facts and the information. And I think people should hopefully walk away with a positive message today that there are people doing that, there are young people who care about this, and we are going to fight for our future by making sure that information is available to policymakers and to everyone else to make better decisions.
And, you know, so many younger generations blame the generations before them for whatever situation the country is currently in. And I just want to applaud you and your efforts because you're not placing blame. You're finding a solution and you're finding a way to make a change without actually pointing fingers.
Yeah, no, I mean, our goal at the end of the day is to be productive, and though it can be very fun to point fingers and place blame, it tends not to be the most productive approach.
Well, on that note.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, we thank you, Dakin. Thank you very much for coming forward. We're looking forward to your media release on the new part of the California Common Sense website, and good job on the budget.
Yeah, we love you.
Thanks for taking us down
the
road.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome. You've been listening to We the People Radio with Dakin Schloss this morning. We will see you next week.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.